So the scripture this morning is going to be in Matthew 28, starting in verse 1, going through verse 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, "He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. The greatest story ever told. I love a good story. Guys, I'm going to have you just stand with me just one more minute. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have you have a seat. Father, we just thank you for this glorious, wonderful day. Lord, what you're doing by the Spirit is beyond our comprehension, beyond our words, God. How you create earthquakes in our own hearts, in our own lives. You break open the tomb and we come out of the grave. God, you have called us in little ways in the years that we live. You pull and you tug and you call us to come follow you. So Lord, in this time that we have together, Lord, let your anointing fall on each heart. Let the peace of Christ be our portion today. Let the miracle of the resurrection fill our spirit with the breakthrough that you've called each one of us to have. Father, we declare these things. We ask it to be done according to your purpose and will and glory in the powerful and beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Everyone with me said,
amen.
You can have a seat. So a little girl was part of a resurrection story in Sunday school, and the teacher said to them, "I want everybody, what do you think Jesus said when he first got out of the grave?" And the little girl in the back, "Yeah, what did he say, Beverly? What do you think he said?" And she said, "Ta-da!" He is a miracle worker, and he has a miracle for you today. I want to jump right into the Word. Before I do, I wanted to do a little a review of what's going to be happening. We have these in the lobby. 30 Days of Gratitude Challenge. Wow. That could be hard. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do all 30 days, but I'm going to try. I'm actually here to encourage you and encourage me. Last week, Pastor Michael talked about the series we began about the goodness of God. And he talked about Moses was, "Give me your glory." And he said, "Well, it's a little bit too bright for you. I'm going to stick in the cleft of the rock. But what I will do is show you all of my goodness as I pass by." We can see God's goodness in the land of the living. And that's part of what the series is. And this is what this is for, to help us to, the fancy word is habitus, create something that we do that breaks things in our own mindset, that helps us to change our course in the way that we think and talk to others. And those things are not just a magic wand hits you. It's something you have to practice. Sometimes when you come out of a situation, you have to just have a new way of changing your habits. And 30 days is a good way to break a habit and add a good one, and that's a good one. So I just wanted to add one more thing to that. Prayer is the beginning of having an attitude of gratitude. Here's a quote. It says, "As prayer sets God to work, answered prayer sets thanksgiving to work. Prayer praise, and thanksgiving all go in a company. Threefold cords, not easily broke. The Psalms are full of praise and thanksgiving, which all point back to prayer. Thanksgiving includes gratitude, and it's felt in the heart, and thanksgiving is the expression for that inward feeling. Giving thanks to God comes from pondering the goodness of God, and that's why you get a chance to write what you ponder over the next 30 days. Why am I hammering on so much? Because I need it to get my pump primed, to be honest. You know, it's like I haven't been that grateful every day. And I think this is just an opportunity for us to create those beautiful spaces for the Lord. In Psalms 126, it says, "The Lord has done great things for us, for we are glad." And these are the things that as we go through our Sundays that are going to come upon us, we have our board in the back, and those things are become, they can become testimonies in your life. And sharing that, as one of our sisters did this morning, Sarah stepped up and said, "Look at this one, look at this one. Aren't we thankful for that?" It encourages us as you're encouraged by God. Share that and be bold. I love this little poem. "I love to think on mercies past and future good implore, and all my cares and sorrows cast on him whom I adore." In Psalms 104, it says, "My meditation on him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." One more big quote, and then we're going to move into the message. You ready? One more. "Gratitude is the awareness that life in all its manifestations is a gift for which we want to give thanks. The closer we come to God in prayer, the more we become aware of the abundance of God's gifts to us. May we even discover the presence of these gifts in the midst of our pains and sorrows. The mystery of the spiritual life is that many of the events, people, and situations that for a long time seemed to inhibit our way to God become ways of being united more deeply with him. What seemed a hindrance proves to be a gift. Thus, gratitude becomes a quality of our hearts that allows us to live joyfully and peacefully, even though our struggles continue." That's Henry Nouwen. Well, that was just a big plug for the gratitude thing. You know, here we go. Everybody ready for this month? I am. Now. If you weren't, you are now. So, everybody with me? He's risen. And hallelujah is our song. Let's give him a hand. That's awesome. Amen. The Lord is good, and he does good to his people. You know, Jesus, through all of his ministry, was always after people's hearts. And people that were religious couldn't take that, you know, because they wanted, you got to do it this way, line by line, line by line. And they were missing something, weren't they? It creates a big problem. And unfortunately for us, that's the way we are. We miss what God is after. He doesn't want your stuff. He doesn't want your whatever you want to put out there as the label. He wants your heart. Jesus is after your heart. But that brings us to a big problem. Here's a quote from C.S. Lewis from The Four Loves. "We're born helpless." That's a big problem. Thank God for moms and dads. As soon as we're fully conscious, we discover loneliness. Our whole being, by its very nature, is one vast need. We're incomplete, preparatory. We're empty, yet we're cluttered. Crying out for him who can untie things that are now knotted together and tie up things that are still dangling loose. You know, I didn't know we were going to take you right down into this, but this is where we're going right now. John Piper said it like this. He said, "Life can be a conveyor belt of disappointment." Just when you think you're ahead, it's like, here it comes again. Oh, in my lap. Here it comes again. In my lap. Oh, no, I don't want that one. Crash. Made it worse because you didn't deal with it. Yeah, you have to face all those trials that come, and they come pretty regularly. Daily. So while I was preparing for this, and I've had a couple of weeks, pastor's away By the way, I'm Pete, one of the elders here, if you haven't met me. I would have shaked your hand, but I had to go use the restroom, so, you know, it was that. But too much information. Stop right now. But anyway, you know, God is so good, and he has a great sense of humor. And I think we missed that in the scripture. God has a way of introducing himself and then becoming your best friend. And he wants to laugh with you. He wants to cry with you. He wants to tell you that you are his own. I have a picture of Jesus up on my mantelpiece. It's not your traditional one. He's got long hair, which I did. But he is laughing. It's a laughing Jesus. You can probably Google it and find it. It's like, I love it because people ask, is that one of your family members? Kind of looks like you. I said, no, that's Jesus. And he is part of my family. But if you get to know him, you'll know he knows how to be serious. I mean, he was super serious. He went to the cross. That was focused and had to do what he had to do. He set his head like flint. He wasn't going to let anything change it. That's what he did for us, but we'll get to that. But I think that as I was preparing, I sensed that we're all dealing with the fact that there's so much injustice all around us. There's so much confusion. There's so much unfairness. The unfairness of it all. You know, we can shake our fist at the heavens, or we can just be introspective and say, man, what is the answer? If I could, I would X. But all the while, when we're dealing with all these issues, we sense, we feel a glimpse, a little bump. We are reminded that there's something more. There's a sunset hits us just as we're driving home, perhaps. Or we made it intentional and went out to see one because they're so good, right? In Florida, especially sunsets and sunrises. Or we've, you know, caught somebody talking to their kid and it was beautiful. Just a moment, just a glimpse of something more. And in our knower, we kind of seek after that. What was that? What is that secret sauce that I'm missing? I know it. There are some of us here that are still struggling with this craziness of life, you might call it. You've been on your own. You've tried it your way. Maybe you've experienced that, as we mentioned, loneliness earlier. And the list goes on. Despair, isolation, struggling over finances, bad bosses, troubling relationships, addictions, betrayals, a feeling of worthlessness. Some brought on by bad choices and some by circumstances that are beyond your control. And then there's the question of your own demise. You know, the thing about when the ladies made it to the tomb, they didn't go there to find somebody alive. They went there to find somebody dead. And the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. The tomb is empty. So this kind of leads me into the good news. Now that we've taken you all the way down here, let's bring it all the way back up. When you come to the place where you give Jesus your heart, you hear him say, follow me, and you leave everything, all of your preconceived, all of your burdens, your circumstances, it changes things. It doesn't make the hardness go away. It doesn't make the suffering any less. But he comes alongside of you and can hear your heart and walk with you and make it a way that he takes that burden and turns it into light. I used to hear a pastor say, well, you've been having burden heavy, haven't you? You need to drink a little burden light. It's like, what? All these old sayings. I'm old, you know, so I got all these old ones, you know. Tim Mackey puts it like this. It's a rescue from a kind of world we've created by our own selfishness and our contempt for others that leads to violence. Let that sink in. But it's a rescue into communities of wholehearted love and respect. And that's what we found here. And we nurture what's happening here at Journey by having table ministry. And you'll hear, if you stick around and are challenged to come back next week, you'll hear opportunities to find the real Jesus in that is living and breathing in the hearts of people. And the hand that's extended to you will bring healing and love and someone to listen to, that will listen to you and walk with you in your tears and your sorrows. That's what this community is all about and what the church should be. Now, I want to interject here. I know if you've been anywhere near church, you know, there's a possibility you've been hurt. And I've heard people say that even this week, yeah, I've church hurt. It should be in the dictionary, probably is. You know, and if you have church hurt or people have manipulated, you know, what the truth of Jesus is, I can't declare to you any clearer that Jesus has brought this to be a safe place where discussions can take place and questions can be asked. You don't have to be afraid of those things. And any issues you're dealing with, just like the 30-day gratitude challenge, you have to walk through it sometimes with somebody to help you. It's not an instant thing. There's no sprinkle dust. We're going to get some today. That'll be fun. Yeah. And if that's what it takes sometimes, just a massive amount of confetti to change your heart, and I heard somebody say that earlier, did something in my life that a room can be filled with Easter colors, and imagine that is coming. But the fact that when God does something like that, I call him the God of the suddenly, and he can absolutely step into your world and change everything around for you, and he makes all things new. Jesus gave up the riches of heaven to pursue us, to make a right world. I call this the kingdom of God. It's not what the world has to offer by any means. We already took a look at what they have to offer in our little down here list. It's an amazing upside down kingdom where this amazing love can be given and received freely. Kind of what our songs were today. We're so free when we've turned from our own sin and felt the embrace of Christ and lovingly heals us and makes us whole. So what happened that first Easter day? He's risen, and hallelujah is our song. There's something about the power of God when he comes to dwell among you. When we talked about Moses and the glory and he was in the cleft of the rock, there's even songs about it. He put me in the cleft of the rock. But we can experience his glory, his fullness in worship and the things that happen during those things. God can deposit in you things that you've been looking for and haven't found. When his glory comes down and floods of an atmosphere, you can ask for things that you didn't even know you needed, and he will answer. That's why corporate worship, that's why coming to, you know, into a corporate setting like this is important. You know, things happen only when you're in a group like this. Well, here's what I'm telling you. The Prince of Peace has risen, and he's your answer for the things that you hold back, that have held you back from the purpose and plan that he's created just for you. Yep, there's a book just for you written on how things can come about as you trust and walk with him daily. Let me tell you about our Jesus. I feel like the old spiritual. Let me tell you about our Jesus. Thank you. Because he lives. Because he lives, we can be like him through the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to talk about him a little bit. Is that okay? Yes. Come on now. I feel good because he's good. He's compassionate. He knows everything about you, and guess what? He still loves you. He knows what's going on in your house. You can't hide from him. Company's coming over. Let's sweep it under the rug. He knows that dirt's there. It's all right. He doesn't care. He can overlook it. Just like if you have a good friend, they'll just laugh at you and say, whatever. They don't care what your house is messy. He's compassionate. He's the ultimate example of what it means to be a servant to others. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve in Mark 10. Kindness and selflessness. Thank you. Kindness and selflessness characterized his personality. Kindness and selflessness. Let that be said of us, right? He's loving. And if it wasn't true that he was loving, he couldn't be compassionate or be a servant. It's like, yeah, serve me. I don't know. It's not about. I did 30 years as a firefighter in Temple Terrace. And during that tenure, a young Eagle Scout wannabe came with a project to the chief, and then he signed it to me to help this kid get it done. He put a monument out in front of the fire station, number one, on Bullard Parkway in Temple Terrace. It says on it, "Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." What's interesting to me is that when it finally was erected and placed there as a bench behind it, I think, and it looked like a tombstone. Somebody donated it. This Eagle Scout got all that done, got the money, sponsored it, and it was great. We were able to do that, and I thought, man, that's great. It's a testimony for Christ, man. Scripture in the front yard of the station. Yes. But here's the hard part. In John 12, 24 and 25, it says, "Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and produces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal." No greater love than to die for your friends. And Jesus did just that. Look at the cross. Clearly, that is love at its finest. He knew, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he knew that the folks that were putting him on the cross were, and all the things that he went through, if you've followed the whole story through Len, or if you haven't, I mean, the torture, the cat of nine tails, or whatever it was called, and I mean, they were surprised he died so quick, but that's probably because he was beaten so badly. But all that represents, according to Isaiah, he took our sins on him and all of our diseases. So that's why there's still healing today. Yeah, we believe that God can heal you in your body. He heals your heart. He can heal your mind. He can break things off that you have been battling with. And God is able to do it suddenly. It doesn't have to be a 30-day program. God can do it. And if you're like feeling that tug today, there'll be a chance to pray later. But God wants to touch you wherever you are. Jesus had a heart of mercy and forgiveness. Even through the pain and brokenness, bleeding and dying, his eyes were on us. And we are, John said this earlier, reconciled. We're made right. We're rescued and made alive by that sacrifice. But listen, guys, if he could forgive that much, and this is a big one for a lot of people, you can forgive too. Whatever that hurt is, I mean, church hurts minimum compared to some of the hurts that we walk through in our lives, because relationships are happening all the time, and there's a lot of hurt there. I know it. I can sense it. But God has made a way to follow that example. So if you're struggling with forgiveness, this is a good place to decide, well, you know what? This is the day. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to make it right. whoever that was that hurt you. You don't have to, like, you know, go crazy, but I want you to know you're not on my back anymore. Like, unforgiveness is like carrying around somebody that on your back. Or is that the old illustration about it's like drinking poison and hope the other person's going to die? Yeah, but if you give up the grudge and ask God to help you forgive, he'll do it. He will. So this, he is also, the big buzzword in church is grace. He's full of grace. Now what does grace mean? Let's look at an instant of how he handled a woman. These Pharisees brought to him, he's caught in adultery. And he says, so when they, the men, continued asking him, he was writing on the ground. He raised himself up and said to them, he that's without sin among you, let him throw the stone at her. So clever. It's the wisdom of God, right? I like to think, and everybody has, like, all these theologians have the little things that they think they might have said. I think he wrote on the ground, oh, I could have forgiven your sins too if you stuck around. But in this encounter, Jesus teaches us to show grace. How do we show grace? God doesn't condemn us. He's forgiven us our sins, and he expects us to do the same for others. That's how you do it. You know what he's done for you? You turn it around and do it for somebody else. It's a given. It's a give and more give. It's not even a give and take. It's a give and let go. And give. Amen. Well, Jesus had a reputation for being good, going everywhere and doing good. He was caring. He healed people so often so that they would know who he was, the healing, good man. Truly, he proved to be the Son of the living God. Not just by the miracles, but by the words. The Beatitudes have changed the way people think. I mean, if you read them for yourself, it's like, man, this is so rich and beautiful and deep. Read it for yourself. He did all of that while showing concern for the afflictions of those around him. Did everybody get healed? Actually, no. There's a place in the book of Acts, and I'll just throw this in for free. He walked by this guy that Peter, the shadow, walks over, comes over this guy and he gets healed. He stands up and said, man, I'm healed. But according to the scholars, that Jesus probably walked by that guy 7 times during his ministry. It's crazy. It's like, I thought he just healed everybody. Nope. But sometimes if you're not healed and you still have that joy, you have that peace, and you have found someone else to talk to that's in the circumstance that's just like yours, the word says that we can comfort others that are comforted. We're comforted by the same comfort that we're comforted of God. Yeah, he can bring a beauty out of your pain. He can bring counsel out of your suffering. And you can encourage those that are around you that are hurting. Jesus was honest and truthful. He never violated his own word. He spoke truth wherever he went. He lived a life we could follow explicitly. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And at the same time, he was peaceable. He didn't argue his case. He didn't try to bully his way into people's hearts. He's gentle among us. Not now, Jesus. Okay, I'll wait. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to a party. Hey, can I come? Nope. Gotta stay here. Okay, I'll wait. When we're tempted to walk away from the Lord, he's very patient and very loving and kind, but he's always ready. And then when you finally do come to that place, like, I probably shouldn't have done that. He said, done what? You're here? Let's go. He's ready to start right from that point. As soon as you give it to him, wow. What kind of wonderful thing is that? How many have experienced that?
Yes, amen.
Wow. Let me close with just a few more truths. Is that okay?
Yes.
Then we're going to throw some confetti. It's going to be fun. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. I was telling Luke earlier. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "If we find a desire within ourselves that cannot be satisfied by anything in this world, it's likely that we were made for another world." Have you guys... Are you tracking with me? He's offering this new kingdom to you today. If you never experienced Christ, if you don't have that peace, if you're dealing with issues so deep, so much pain, God has a way to release you from it. In him we have redemption through his blood, it says in Ephesians, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. There's that word again. For we know we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh, there's that book again. He's got a plan. His plan's great, by the way. You never know, right? Trish, it's kind of like you walk in, you see somebody. Trish is like this. She's like, I got to talk to that guy right now. He needs a word of encouragement. And what does she do? She goes over there and talks to that guy because he needs a word of encouragement. It's so out of yourself kind of world that Jesus has called us to be in. And once you find that, the joy, my friends, that comes when you deposit love into somebody else and you know that God has used you as his vessel, it is, whew, that was kind of like one of those, everything comes, what is that called, chi? I don't know. What is it called? Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's good.
This is what Jesus has done. Because he rose, it brings us hope. Not like the world gives. He gives us a living moment by moment, when you need him, he's there kind of hope. Yeah. Don't miss the opportunity to meet him today. If you've never done that, because he conquered death on Easter morning.
Yes.
He has risen indeed.
Yes,
now, for those of us that are in the faith, I just wanted to read you one more thing. And we're done with this, and then we'll pray. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Do not look to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equally with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore, God has now highly exalted him to the highest place and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. John, if you wouldn't mind coming up, and we'll just make this kind of officially kind of, everybody stand up, shake yourselves off a little bit. Everybody stand up with me if you wouldn't mind. I think God just wants, has put his beautiful hand on your heart today. I sense that God's presence has just flooded this place earlier, and I think he was already doing a work. It's miraculous what he does when the Lord moves. But I believe there's healing in this place. I believe there's deliverance. I believe that there's the healing of hearts and hurts and all those things that were mentioned during this talk. If that's you today, I could have you come up to the altar. And if you want people to pray with you, that would be just great. We have a team here that would love to pray with you. You might say, Pete, well, I'm a little shy and I don't want to get on my seat. And that's, you know, God sees that, and some preachers demand that you come, you know. But if you wanted to, just as a symbol of your need, you could just put your hand out to receive. And I'll pray over a few things that I feel like the Holy Spirit's dropped in my heart. But, and if you've never met the Lord, come see us. Come see me, Brenda, some of the folks here at the stage, what have you. We'd love to share you with you about the love that we found that Christ has given us for all people, for all times. So, Father, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, you've come. You've met us today. Lord, you've put your hand around the hearts of those that are hurting. God, you know everything about them. How they've struggled, Lord. How they've had to listen to the enemy's lies for years, perhaps decades. But God, you're here to break those things off. For deliverance is your portion. Healing is your privilege. Peace, you reign over us because you are the Prince of Peace. Just going to say it. If you're struggling with an addiction, there's power here to break that. Someone to come alongside of you and walk you through. If there's a bad self-image you've been lied to by perhaps friends, but mostly the enemy loves to attack people there in their identity, God has called you his child. He wants to wrap his arms around you, bring you close, and say, you are mine. I have called you by name. So, Father, as this time goes forward and we get to celebrate the beauty of Easter, the incredible change agent that you were to all creation and all the world and every human heart, God, let it be so on everyone that is called out to you this morning, because you are good and you do good to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.